Well, we are on the cusp of a massive summer of tennis, and to talk us through exactly what we can expect, we only go to one man here, Sammy Lane, former player and commentator for ABC Sport, Roger Rashid. Welcome to Summer Grandstand.
Limo, Sam, how are you both?
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, Roger. And Limo's left off and also awesome coach. And
Yes. My apologies.
Roger, you might have heard us take a few calls there, and as much as we want to get into the nitty-gritty of the summer of tennis ahead for us here in Australia and beyond, we do want to know if you could spend 24 hours with any athlete, because you're interested in many sports, you've spent 24 hours and more with many top-level athletes, but who would you choose, someone you haven't seen or spent time with up close?
Oh, someone I haven't seen. Oh, I don't know. I've been fortunate enough to spend a lot of personal time with Greg Norman as a close mate of mine. Oh, yeah. So just to see his day-to-day workings, you know, and I'm talking since probably 2002, just to see his day-to-day workings as like a professional athlete, the detail, the discipline, the repetitiveness, and then just flips that in just to everyday life of his and his work and his business and how he was building out his business and how he treated people and his people as well. It's top shelf stuff, and I was sort of in awe of obviously when I first got to be in front of Greg, it's just in awe of. I was one of those young people who are sports fans who was watching late, you know, early in the mornings when he was taking on the rest of the world over in the US and dominating, and you could see why. But that's probably as good as, you know, I've been around some pretty interesting sports athletes, and obviously the Nadals, the Federers, you know, being in their company with, you know, the time when Leighton was there as well. And also the other guys that I was coached, just being in their company in the locker room, playing up against them all the time, just, you know, on the practice court with them. So just that, you're just sort of living a lot of those day-to-day experiences, if you know what I mean. And, yeah, they were just, yeah, pretty amazing just to have those experiences for me. I was pretty blessed.
You just made me think, Roger Rashid, I'd love to spend a day with John Daly, the golfer who's turned into the wild man of golf these days. I reckon that'd be pretty fun to hang out with him.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you like to spend it, but I remember my very first experience with playing golf with Gregory at Coolum, and I was just my second day. I was spending 4 days with him up there for the first time ever meeting him, and so we were going to have a practice round around Coolum, I'm a sort of guy that likes to feel like I can hit it as big as the pros and
yes,
straight, you know, that type of player.
That's me as well, yes.
Yeah, if you're going to go and pay a lot of money on a golf course, get your money, you know, get your value. And yeah. I remember putting the ball down on the first, as I stepped up, he was standing right behind me. And, you know, he's an enormous present. And he said, I don't like playing golf with players that hit the ball there, and he was pointing to the far left, and I don't like playing golf with players that hit the ball there, to the far right, basically saying, hit it straight or we're not playing.
Did you hit it straight?
I did. I took a half swing with a one wood and just bunted it up the fairway, and I thought that was
better off being straight.
Exactly. This guest, Leams, we could have got on just to talk about, like, the athletes he's actually seen up close and spent time with. But, Roger, we actually want to ask you about the summer ahead of us with tennis. What is exciting you most?
I've always been excited by seeing how players present themselves at the start of the season. And so I remember as a coach, I was always about, you can control your preparation leading into the start of the season, and the foundation you've built in the little off season that you get, and your ability to want to do that sort of work, really sort of gave you a springboard into the Australian summer. And then it continued on and paid you in spades as you went through the taxing year that is a tennis tour. So I really do enjoy the fine detail of seeing who's evolved a little bit, who's, you know, people always say, yeah, I spent a lot of time, you know, working on my craft. Well, a lot of times I'll sort of watch the players in January and think, oh, well, I'm not seeing anything different. You know, whether it's their body preparation, you know, the physicality side of things, have they added to that? We know Alex has been great at actually bringing so much value to his game year on year and trying to look for those ways to sort of expose other areas. And hence he's ranked 7 in the world and had a great year in 2025. So, yeah, I guess that's my most exciting part of for me for the detail. But, you know, I think we're going to get Sam and Lemo, we're going to get the dominance again of, you know, the Alcaraz Sinner dominance. We'll have the intrigue of, on the men's side, we'll have the intrigue of Novak and how he does. Can he push the limits again and play some big tennis again? And he was playing really well this year at the Australian Open in 2025. And then who else is, you know, and obviously we'll ride Alex's wave and see if he can break through and get to a semi there and really push. And he's going to give it his all. And then on the women's side, I think we're looking for, you know, who's next. Sabalenka's obviously been dominant. Madison Keys won there last this year in 2025. We saw the emergence of Anna Samova, who actually got really belted at Wimbledon, but then was able to back that up again and then make a final at the US Open. Coco Gauff winning the French. So there's some interesting storylines, but it seems at the moment it's definitely got more flexibility and there's more intrigue on the women's side as far as there's a, you know, real handful of stars that could actually take the summer by storm. And then on the men's side, I think we're very heavily weighted at the moment on the seesaw with Sinner and Alcaraz.
Mm-hmm. They're just so dominant, those two figures. Is it good for the sport to have two players so far ahead of the rest of the pack?
Well, I believe so. I think you definitely need rivalries in sport. If you don't have rivalries in sport, I think it's flat. You know, it flatlines a little bit because the rest of the world can't tune into anything. What are they going to, you know, like the rest of the world would, when Federer and Nadal had the rivalries, then when it was Borg, McEnroe, you can go back in time, Navratilova, Ebert, you know, the rest of the world who just enjoyed sport, even not, you know, minimally, they would just tune in. They wanted to see that match. So it brings eyeballs to the game. There's a bit of one-sidedness, but it also pushes as well. It makes the rest of the field decide. You'll see who wants to push and actually explore, and you'll see the others who will decide to wave the white flag and go, I'm happy being, you know, 5 in the world or 10 in the world or 20 in the world. These guys are untouchable. So I do like the rivalries, and I think they'll, you know, there'll be a challenger, but at the moment, you know, when you look at the, you know, if you're looking at the Sinner and Alcaraz situation at the moment, it's great for the sport. They play differently, but they also know that they have the field covered at the moment. They know there's not that, there's not physically or mentally anyone that's prepared or wants to actually go there and push them in the chest a bit. So I'm intrigued to watch who that is. And on the women's side, we've been waiting and craving, three or four. We've got a group here to have those really big rivalries, and we're starting to see a little bit of it now, obviously, with Sabalenka, Swiatek, Coco Gauff, Anna Samova now in there as well. So I think we've got some really good viewing on the women's side.
And what about the crazy stat with Sinner and Alcaraz? I think it was after the 2025 ATP Finals, they had played 3,302 points and won 1,651 each, exactly half.
Amazing.
That is nuts.
It is. I mean, and most tennis, you know, most close, you know, when you put like for like up against each other, you know, a match is decided by 3 points. You know, or 4 points or a handful of points. So there's never this blowout of, oh, you've won a match by 25 points. You know, the score lines are very tight. And that's probably always, it's going to be the case. And we saw some that great 5-set match at the French Open where Sinner was 2 sets of love up, served for the match, her match points, doesn't win it, but then goes on to turn that around and win at Wimbledon, to defeat Alcaraz at Wimbledon. So, you know, these two are doing some really cool things for the game. They've definitely taken the game to their level. They've actually, their level's higher than anything else at the moment. I'm curious to see who's going to be prepared to sort of make some changes. There are some real talented players out there, but are they prepared to make those little changes within to get a little bit uncomfortable and maybe subject themselves to going back a fraction, so they can go forward and find some greater ground and challenge these two guys, or are they prepared to just stay where they are and hopefully on that one-off chance get a win in the right time? But one thing you do know about the greats of sport, especially on the men's side, five-set tennis is the clincher. So when they've got time over five sets in majors, they're very hard to beat. You can get them in a three-set match, but potentially for an hour and a half, but in a five-set match, they're very hard to beat. And so we've got an exciting summer of tennis, and with the Aussies as well. Maya Joint, you know, a young Australian who's 19, she's had a great year. She's played 80 matches this year, so she obviously is a 19-year-old, but quite capable of accepting the load. And she's 32 in the world, our highest-ranked player, with Kazakhina, who's 37 in the world. So we've got a bit to, you know, we've got a bit on each side to look forward to come the Australian summer.
Roger, you spoke earlier about riding the Alex wave, and then my ears pricked up too when you were talking about players in the men's competition that need to make little changes and possibly go back in order to accelerate. If you could get Alex to hone one area of his game to change or review or develop, could you pick one out for us?
What I do like is that Alex has actually tried to evolve. He's evolved every part of his game. He's, you know, there was a period there where you're thinking, okay, so, you know, he comes on the tour and he's got fast wheels. So he's very good defensively. He's able to turn that into offense. He's got stronger physically, which he needed to, and he needed to, and he could see it. So he's been willing to go, okay, what makes me better? And what can I do? So he's developed his body. It's continually developed. He developed the way he's played the game. He's been flexible in a few areas. His service needed to be beefed up. He needs to be able to win some free points on his serve. So it took away that sort of that tired, the relentless style of point he had to play to win, where it was, you know, was a lot of hitting a lot of tennis balls. He's very offensive. I think he could play Jannik Sinner differently than how he goes about it. I think that the way he goes about the game plan, I would have a little bit of flexibility in that. I feel he sort of plays Sinner too much where Sinner likes it. And I'm talking small margins, but there are ways, subtleties to play Jannik Sinner. But all in all, I take my hat off to Alex, because he's definitely one that's woken up every day and gone, how do I get better? And what can I change? What can I try and do? And he's emptying the bucket every time, which I love.
Can't wait to see him out there over this this coming summer. And now we need to ask you, Roger Rashid, about a couple of battles that are coming up. Someone called earlier, excited about the Battle of the World Number Ones, which is going to be part of the Australian Open, which is Roger Federer, Andre Agassi, Pat Rafter, and Leighton Hewitt. What do you know about this?
Well, who wants to roll out Pat Rafter? Seriously, come on. You know, he's not likable. He's not a draw card. He's happy to be, you know, get up on the coast there at Byron and just stay on your farm, Pat. it's a great initiative from Tennis Australia and the AO. So they've got the AO, the show before the show. So the opening ceremony. So Roger coming back down to Australia, which is, you know, it can only be exciting for the fans. It'll be at Rod Laver Arena on the 17th of Jan. So yeah, Federer, Andre, Leighton and Pat. So some great characters, all slightly different style of players, but really unique in the way they went about the game. And they got adoring fans. And I think Roger, obviously, you know, he packs the stadium out wherever he goes, and it'll be fantastic to see him there. That's what an entree it is to the main course, obviously, of the the big show, which is the Australian Open over 2 weeks. But you can't get any bigger than having on a Saturday night leading into the Australian Open by having these guys down in your down at Rod Laver Arena.
Yeah, the fans will absolutely love it. What about Cruz Hewitt? Just by the by, is he going to be playing?
Yeah.
in the Australian Open.
I think I would assume he would get a wild card into the qualifying. I'm sure he's putting his hand up for, you know, as they do, you can nominate and ask for a wild card into the main draw, and there's some available there. But you know, he's progressing well. You know, he's young, he's 16, he's progressing, he's got good height, he's got some flair in his game, he's competitive. You know, it's a long journey, and you've got to be. You need to have a patience about, you know, you can be in a hurry, but with a bit of patience attached to it as well. And I think, you know, Leighton's obviously very aware of the journey, what it looks like. It's not going to be the same journey that Leighton was on. So, you know, and Cruz is a different person himself. So, but with obviously a lot of Leighton's DNA there. So, he's been fascinating to watch, and he's doing a lot of good things at the moment. And he just, you know, you just need to be patient. And, you know, as I said, a 16-year-old in a very, very physical sport, it's combative, and you've got to have some durability and be patient. And I think we're going to see some. Yeah, he's got a good opportunity in the game, and he'll get his chance during the summer as well, because it all starts pretty early. There's Brisbane, there's the United Cup down into Adelaide, and then a couple of women's events in Canberra and Hobart. So we've got a smorgasbord of tennis around the summer, and it's going to be fascinating with that and the cricket and everything else that's going on. It's You wouldn't want to be anywhere else, would you? Want it? Would you guys?
There is plenty happening. Well, there's only one other place you'd rather be, and that is Dubai on New Year's Eve to witness the battle of the sexes between Nick Kyrgios and the women's world number one Sabalenka. What are your and there's been
your thoughts, this is, Sam?
It's receiving mixed reviews, I've got to say.
Yeah. You go
Sam
first, Roger. No, Roger, you're first. You're our guest.
Well, I'm pretty disappointed that it's on, to be honest. I don't think, you know, I would be interested to see if you you ask the women, the cohort on the WTA tour, how they feel about it, because, you know, the battle of the sexes. You know, I mean, the Billie Jean King and Riggs event was Bobby Riggs was it was a different it was about something else. Martina didn't really want to. Billie Jean didn't really want to do that, but she did it for the reasons. But yeah, I'm not a fan of it, to be honest. I think it's a lose lose for the women's side, to be honest. I mean, you know, and I think it's. I actually think it's quite insulting, to be perfectly honest. And you know, it's done by. I think Nick's management has put this show on, and they've got a court that's nine. I don't know if you know Limo and Sam, but the court's 9% smaller on one side, because apparently, you know, the data shows that the women's side of the game their movement's 9% less by 9%, and they're playing one serve for a point, so you only get one serve. And, you know, they're playing, I don't know if they're playing up to 11 or 15 or whatever they're doing. It's a point scenario. So I would have to ask you, what's the benefit? What are we getting out of it?
What's the point? I mean, making money for the promotional company, I guess is the answer.
You know, because it's talked about, you know, like if there's, you know, so now there's a bit of banter that goes on. I know it's fun banter, but, you know, who loses to who beats who, and what's it mean? Yeah, I don't. How do you feel about it, Sam?
Yeah, I think listening to you is fascinating. You've got your fingers on the pulse of tennis, and I love your point that you would love to hear, or you've alluded that the women on tour are not supportive of this. If that is the case, Roger, I think my sense of this, which is that it is gimmicky, is also that it is potentially damaging as well. If this had something at the core of it that was, you know, really genuinely raising issues around gender equity or parity, well, then it's got some meat on the bones. It just seems all gimmick to me. And your initial point was about the women its attitudes on tour. And I think that really says it all.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you want to listen to something really quiet, that's really strong on it and more detailed than mine, to be honest, and I won't go into the detail, but I do know that if you listen to the tennis podcast, if you want some interesting listening, some English tennis pundits that actually follow on the tour full-time, they have a podcast where they talk about this, and I think it will open your eyes to where it sits, and yeah, maybe you can speak about it next week.
Yeah, it's interesting. It certainly is
like
receiving.
A limo or not? I think it's
you know, ridiculous. If I'm going to be completely honest,
Go ahead.
I don't think it advances anything for anyone, and it's just it's a shameless cash grab, as far as I can tell.
And I haven't even
nothing for the game of tennis.
Yeah, I don't see where the win-win is for. I don't see where there's 1 minute, 1 second of win for the number one player in the world. Sabalenka. Where's the win for her? Where's the win for this game of tennis? So is it making people watch? Yep. Look, you know what? There'll be the BBC are actually showing it on their main channel, BBC One. Can you believe that? So there's something in that, but the intrigue. But the reality is, I would ask, you know, if you were looking after Sabalenka, you would commercially, is this a place where you want to be?
Well, yeah. I haven't even liked the tone of what she said in the build-up. I haven't liked it. And so, yeah, I don't feel it's advancing anything other than two personalities and someone else who's making a whole lot of money and getting a whole lot of attention.
So that's in Dubai, though. The good tennis action is here in Australia right across the summer. As you said, Roger Rashid, you would not want to be anywhere else. There is plenty happening here, and we can't wait for it when all the stars start to hit our shores pretty soon, and the summer of tennis kicks off. And you, of course, will be front and centre. And as always, we appreciate your time on Summer Grandstand.
Thank you both. Have a great Christmas and New Year, and I'm sure we'll speak through the summer.